Hey everybody, have you ever felt pressured to be happy, like, all the time? Maybe you've heard phrases like, just be happy, and hey, why aren't you smiling more? It's as if happiness is the only acceptable emotion. But the reality is that being happy all the time isn't what makes us human. We all experience a range of emotions, and that's okay. When I was in high school, I was a theater kid. I acted, I danced, I sang, and when it was time for the fall musical, I decided that I was going to get the lead, okay? I practiced, I put on the perfect outfit, I was so ready, I went in there, and I crushed it, okay? I basically came out of there signing autographs. I was ready to be the lead in the musical. A couple days later, they put up the signs of who got what part, and lo and behold, I did not get the lead. I got a different, less exciting part, and it crushed me. I went straight home, I ran to my room, I threw myself dramatically on my bed, and I cried. And a few minutes later, my mom came up, and I was kind of preparing myself for her to say, like, that's okay, work hard, you'll get it next time, or hey, maybe the lead will get sick and you'll get to do it, or something like that, but that's not what she did. She sat next to me, she put her hand on my head, and just let me cry. And sometimes when you're feeling negative emotions, that's what you need. And this is what we're going to talk about today, giving other people the space to feel. If I'm honest, I'm not sure that I would have reacted the same way that my mom did, to just sit there and, well, just be. That's tough. A lot of times when someone is feeling all kinds of emotions, we have other ways that we tend to respond. We avoid. Sometimes I don't know if my friends want me to show up or to back off, so I tend to just stay away. I say I'm just giving them their space. But sometimes I'm just ignoring them until they feel better, if I'm honest. Sometimes this is more about me than it is about them because I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I'm incapable of sitting in the awkwardness, so I just stay away. Here's another one. We try to fix. The truth is we care about the people in our life, right? So when they're upset, we want them to not be upset. So we try to say the right thing or do the right thing to make all the pain go away instantly. But not only is that not the way emotions work, it sometimes makes things worse. Think about this. Have you noticed how society often sets happiness as the ultimate standard? It's like if you're not happy, something is wrong. Think about social media. People usually post their best moments, right? Their highlight reels, we see smiling faces, fun events, and beautiful vacations. But we rarely see bad days, moments of sadness or struggles. This creates an illusion that everyone else is happy all the time. And if we're not, we must be doing something wrong. But here's the thing, this pressure to always be happy can make us feel worse. Imagine feeling sad and then on top of that, someone keeps asking you, what's wrong? Or, hey, what's wrong? Or, seriously, what's wrong? It can make you feel even more upset because now you're dealing with your own sadness and the pressure to be happy or to know how to verbalize what's wrong. That is what happens when we try to fix. We place unnecessary pressure on someone else's happiness. And then the last one. We offer an unhealthy escape. Have you ever watched a show or movie where someone says to a friend, you've had a tough week, we need to get your mind off things, and then they go out and make terrible decisions? It's irrational, right? But sometimes that's what people do in real life as well. They offer something to numb the pain and take someone's mind off of their emotions. The problem is that doesn't help anyone process and work through their emotions. In fact, it usually creates more problems than whatever caused the negative emotion in the first place. I'll give you an extreme example. Let's say that you go through a difficult breakup and your friend says, hey, I see that you're hurting, let's go out and get drunk tonight. Well, not only will your heartache still be there when you wake up in the morning, but you'll have regrets and probably a hangover. Trying to escape this way doesn't take away the pain, it brings more pain with it. Instead of avoiding fixing or offering an unhealthy escape, I want to offer another way. And to talk about that, we're going to look at two people who loved the people around them better than anybody. the Apostle Paul and Jesus. For some of the first Christians who lived in the ancient city of Rome, they were dealing with a wide range of emotions. These early Christians faced intense persecution and challenges. Life was far from easy, and emotions ran high. They dealt with fear, uncertainty, and sorrow, but also hope, faith, and joy. Paul, who was the leader that started many of the first churches, understood their struggles. In a letter he wrote to the early Roman Christians, he says this: "Be happy with those who are happy, and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people, and don't think you know it all." Paul's words were not just instructions, but also a reflection of his empathy and understanding of their daily experiences. He encouraged the church to embrace and support each other's emotions fully. He was telling them that it's okay to feel a range of emotions and that they should be there for each other through all of them. Paul's life was an example of being there with people in the midst of their emotions, loving, supporting, and encouraging them. And so was Jesus's life. One of his friends named Matthew records this interaction. As Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside, and when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet, but they shouted all the louder, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." The disciples have zero interest in interacting with these blind beggars. That would be too messy and emotional. And if I'm honest, I can be the same way sometimes. But Jesus was all for it. Jesus stopped and called them. "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. This is huge. Jesus started by asking a question. When it comes to our friends who are hurting, this is a good place for us to start as well. Maybe they wanted food. Maybe they wanted money. Maybe they wanted social acceptance, or maybe they wanted forgiveness. "Lord," they answered, "we want our sight." I absolutely love what happens next. Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed him. Of course they did. Wouldn't you follow someone who healed you like that? The word compassion in the original language means to feel in your bones or your gut. Jesus felt deeply for what these blind beggars had gone through their entire lives. Jesus put himself in their shoes. He entered into their world. He listened to them. He cared about what they cared about. He got up close and personal. He had empathy and compassion for them. Wherever people were on this list, Jesus got right there with them. He didn't brush off, shrug off, or act like some of those emotions were petty or unnecessary. No, he went into those emotions with them. And he does the same thing for you and for me. So, when you have a friend who's feeling sad, you can care about them in that emotion the same way Jesus cares for you. This is one of the reasons why people were so drawn to Jesus. He saw people. He really saw them. He didn't just look at their behavior or their outward appearance. He looked at their heart, their intentions, and their emotions. He saw them as human beings with fears, insecurities, anger, hopes, cultural experiences, biases, broken families, past experiences, and so much more. He saw them as real people with real stories, and he felt what they were feeling. You and I can do the same thing. We can give others the space to feel. Instead of avoiding people, trying to fix them, or offering an unhealthy escape, we can offer them love, support, encouragement, empathy, compassion. After all, isn't that what we want others to do when we're feeling all of our emotions? So how can you start to do this? Number one, practice empathy. Practicing empathy means we step into another person's world, trying to see things as they do and to feel what they feel. Empathy doesn't mean over-identifying. You are there to support, not to solve everything. If a friend is going through a tough time at home, it's not your job to fix their family situation, but you can be there to listen and offer your presence. Empathy also involves respecting someone's need for space. Sometimes people need time alone to process their emotions. If a friend says they need some time to themselves, respect that. You can let them know you're there whenever they're ready to talk, and you can send them an occasional text and check in, but don't push them to open up before they're ready. Think about a time when you've experienced empathy. Maybe a friend didn't try to fix your mood or give you advice. They just let you be. They gave you the space to feel what you were feeling, and that was exactly what you needed. We can all do this for each other. Number two, show support. Consider how you can create a supportive environment for those around you. This might mean being more thoughtful about the words you use. Try not to use phrases that dismiss or minimize someone's feelings. Like, it's not all that big of a deal, or you're overreacting. Instead, use language that validates their experiences. Like, I can see why that would upset you. Or, that sounds really tough. Imagine a friend comes to you feeling really upset because they failed a test. Your first instinct might be to say, "It's okay, you'll do better next time," or "Don't worry, it's just a test." While these are well-meaning, they sometimes make the person feel like their emotions are being dismissed. Instead, you could say, "I'm really sorry to hear that. It sounds like you're really feeling disappointed right now." This shows that you're acknowledging their feelings without trying to fix them. Number three. Pray for others. You can pray for your friends, and then you can pray for them again. Not only can you ask God to comfort them and help them, you can also ask God to give you wisdom on how to support them during this time. Prayer is such a powerful way to support people when they're going through difficult times. One last thing, you can also pray with your friend. You can even pray out loud with them. Remember, Jesus shows us that it's okay to feel a range of emotions. He gives others space to feel, and we should too. So as you go into your week, keep this in mind. Give others space to feel. But don't give them so much space that you're not there for them. You don't have to know everything and have all the answers to offer love, support, encouragement, empathy, and compassion. When you head to group, think about your response to this question. This week, how can you give others the space to feel?